You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, where listeners are sharing their stories of sight loss. Yosra El-Hamami lives in London, and she was born with a visual impairment. She joins me now. Yosra, thanks for sharing your story on RNIB Connect Radio. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about the eye condition that you have?
Yeah, sure. So it's called cone retinal dystrophy or cone rod dystrophy, and I also have retinal dysfunction, and as you mentioned, it was something that I was born with.
And were there any sort of particular challenges that you faced because of your sight loss?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely growing up, as my sight has been getting worse as I've been getting older, I've been having to adapt a lot. So, for example, one thing that definitely springs to mind is when I was growing up is when I would be facing someone to talk to them, one of the, I guess you could call subconditions that I have is nystagmus. And that's involuntary movement of the eye. So sometimes I'd be looking at someone or think I'm looking at them and I'd be talking to them and my eyes would be moving elsewhere and I wouldn't know. And a lot of the time it would look like I'm talking to someone else and then someone behind them.
Okay.
And they'd always like, look behind and kind of get really confused. And I'd always just feel like really kind of like ashamed and self-conscious because I had no idea that that was happening. So around kind of sixth form time, I started trying to train myself to stand in a particular way when I'm looking at someone to try and kind of focus my eyes in a particular way so that if they did move, it wouldn't be kind of done so in a way where the person didn't know I was talking to them. So yeah, so that's one thing that definitely pops up, but there's so much more.
Did you find yourself needing to find different ways to do things?
Yes,
sort of come up with, sort of try and be innovative in the way that you go about everyday tasks?
Yes, yes. So a lot of it is obviously being dependable on other people. It's just not anything that I can kind of get away from, if that makes sense, just because of how the sight loss is and the symptoms it has and as it's been getting worse, as I've been getting older. So constantly having to depend on people in different ways and adapt myself to it and like learn how to do things differently or learn new things and what have you. So
there's a bit of a stereotype of sight loss mainly affecting older people. How have you found it as a younger person with sight loss? Is there enough dedicated support, do you think, for younger people?
To be honest with you, I don't think so. I guess it depends what it is. But like for myself, for example, I was for the most part the only visually impaired person that I knew really growing up. I didn't really have many people that I knew with a visual impairment in high school, only one other person. It wasn't until I made friends when I was 16 at a revision course for visually impaired people that I made lifelong friends and I'm still friends with them today. And then that's kind of where I really met other people who are young, who all have different conditions, but who are similar ages. And actually then began to interact with more visually impaired people. And just a lot of support that there is now for the young people I either didn't know about growing up or it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it was definitely very difficult to an extent. Again, just depending on what the kind of specific support it is that we're talking about, or like availability of services, I guess you could say a lot of it wasn't available when I was younger. It was more finding out about certain things just really randomly when I was like mid to late teen, and then getting older that actually there is a lot more support available than what I wasn't aware of really.
And I suppose you've been able to then create your own sort of network of a community. And I'm sure that's a big help then with other people who have the same sort of experiences as you.
It is, whether they have sight loss or not, just kind of having people support me, whether that be, you know, friends or family and stuff, you know, because they obviously have to adapt. Amongst my non-visually impaired friends, I am the only one that they know with a visual impairment. And then with my family, again, I am the only person with a visual impairment. So, yeah, they've had to adapt as well and, like, learn how best I need to be supported or how best they can help me, especially my friends. It's been really, really great. They haven't made me feel any type of particular negative way or anything like that. You know, they've always gone above and beyond, and it's just like a given that, you know, when I need help, they will do it, you know, because they want to and they know that it helps me and, you know, I can access things then just like they can, if that makes sense, by them helping me. And, like, I'm not left out. They never made me feel less than or anything like that. So definitely for me, having supportive friends has been a humongous positive impact on me, because I know being the nervous and anxious type of person that I am, and obviously having my impairment and its various symptoms, it can really get in the way of you making friends and like talking to new people and things like that. But yeah, definitely the people that I'm friends with today have just been so helpful on that front.
And you're working part-time at the moment, but I understand there are some difficulties around equipment. Have you found sort of access to accessible technology a big problem?
Yeah, so I started my access to work application for this role end of September, and it's still going now, where I don't have the equipment, the software and the support that I need. So yeah, that has been a big struggle. I am trying to make do with what I can, what I have myself, but I do still have struggles and run into a lot of difficulty, and it does make it really difficult, but I am trying my absolute hardest, and I'm just hoping that access to work does eventually all work out, where I can get everything that I need. And as we know, for someone with a vision impairment, it is extremely hard to get a job. There are a lot of barriers and obstacles, and, you know, I've been really lucky with the role that I'm in, that, you know, they've been adapting and accommodating and just, like, really, really understanding, and that just means a lot to me. I just don't think it's fair when actually someone not in my position would have been able to get support a lot easier. And obviously access to work is meant to make the process a lot better, a lot easier. But yeah, I've just come into a lot of surprises with this process.
And you've volunteered with RNIB in the past. How did you find that experience?
It was really amazing. So I volunteered with what used to be Actionaires when I was in sixth form. That was my first external volunteering role at school. Did that for over 4 years, and then it was through the RNIB that I actually got my first ever job. So it was just really, really proud. I absolutely loved what I did. And it's just, for example, having that kind of services available to children and young people I didn't have growing up. So to be able to give back and then support visually impaired people and children was just really, really amazing. I absolutely loved it, and we had some amazing, amazing times. Yeah, it was just really nice to hear from the parents and the people that I really, really did make an impact on their child. So it was just amazing, honestly. It was just so, so beautiful, and I absolutely loved it. And, you know, RNIB will always have a place in my heart.
And you're starting to do more voluntary work now, is that right?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get into a different role in volunteering. I'm just waiting on a few things to be finalised, and yeah, I'm really hoping to start soon. I'm kind of just trying to navigate the direction in terms of my career that I want to go in and stuff, and if I did want to get into a research role, I need, you know, years and years of experience, so I just want to be able to start somewhere. And with what RNIB does and how much they've helped me growing up as well, I've used them when I was younger and stuff like that. It's just, you know, really great to be a part of what they do and continue being able to make the positive changes that they do, you know, across the UK and Ireland and that. So, yeah.
And do you have any advice for people who might just be starting their sight loss journey?
So try and find and then access all the support available and find out what works for you and what doesn't. Obviously, you know, it is 2022 now. There is so much more help available than there was when I was younger, and a lot more knowledge as well, and a lot more, you know, understanding and empathy. Try and find out what's available locally, nationally, internationally, what have you. Make use of, you know, what's out there, and you know, if you want something, you know, go and get it. And if it's not there, then obviously fight for it and fight to get it. And that's something on like a personal level that I'm trying to work in, where something isn't accessible to me and I'm liaising with the organisation to try and find a way to make it accessible for visually impaired users. So yeah, definitely like use all the services available, and where something isn't, try and push to make that change, and kind of taking the time to try and make that impact of what I call like active action, to like really try and make changes happen. So yeah
I mean, that's hugely important.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for the work that you're doing and trying to make those changes. And Yostra Elhamami, thank you for sharing your sight loss story here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
And if you're looking for more support, or if you're interested in volunteering with the RNIB, you can call our helpline on 0303 123 9999.